And welcome back to Coast, Caroline Corey with us. This hour, we will take your phone calls on to Coast as we talk about superhuman, telepathy, telekinesis, ESP, you name it, we got it. And welcome back to Coast, Caroline Corey with us. We're going to take your calls in a moment. Caroline, what is more important, the one or the many? Can the one influence as much as the many? Do they have that kind of power?
I love your questions, George.
Thank you.
So, you know, people talk about critical mass, that you need to have a lot of people to influence other people. But to me, it really has to do with consciousness mass. It's not critical mass, which means that each individual consciousness, each individual person has the ability to expand their consciousness, amplify their consciousness to the point of being able to influence more and more people. In other words, if my consciousness is strong enough and massive enough, I can influence one person, 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, or 7 billion people. In fact, that's what those beings that we call, you know, the prophets, the Christ, the Buddhas, or whatever, that's what they were capable of doing. And so so to me, it's not is the one or the, you know, the collective. It's really the type of consciousness that is the most important.
How are some of the best ways to teach people how to develop their own telepathy or consciousness?
Yeah, so of course, meditation. Now, I feel like not all meditations are created equal. Different meditations do different things. And so we started talking about God and Source and, the beginning of all that is and all that stuff. Where do we draw our power from? And so there's a meditation that I put together. It's called Connecting to Source. Okay. So that meditation draws, it's almost like it plugs you back into that source and brings down, it's like you start to download more and more of that frequency of Source within your being. So you start to amplify your power. And not only that, you also align, you stay aligned with that source, with that universal source. So with time, you get stronger and stronger, more and more powerful, and it also quiets you, it also centers you, and it heals you because you're bringing the life force through your body all the time. So that is really at the base of, you know, becoming more psychic or doing any sort of energy work or healing. And then after you master that meditation, which should be done every day, then you start to do more techniques. For example, you know, try to move an object and things like that.
Can you get hurt practicing this?
Hurt in what sense?
A physical way, perhaps.
No, not in a physical way, but I have to tell you, one time I was teaching this Connecting to Source meditation, and I noticed that some people had a hard time kind of reaching or coming back. So it's almost like sometimes you have to be very careful as you're doing these types of meditation to just extend to as far as you can, if you will, and just do it gradually. Because then it could kind of not mess you up, it could kind of confuse you. And some people kind of try to do out-of-body things. So in that sense, you have to be a little bit careful, but not physically. No, there's no reason for you to be harmed by this sort of work at all.
Now, what about the possibilities that we are coming from the entire universe, as opposed to our souls just being earthbound? Do we sometimes have a mixture with our souls and souls from, you know, other spots of the universe? Or are we all one and the same?
Everybody, every single person on planet Earth right now is a mixture of human and something else. And sometimes more than one something else, maybe two or three something else. So that's the point of why do some people feel very attracted, or they, you know, kind of they feel they are connected to beings from Sirius B. Others talk about Pleiadians, and others talk about Greys or reptilians. Like, how come we're not always all talking to the same species? It is because we're not in resonance. We're not really attracted, because that's not our lineage. And so every single person comes here, takes on a human form, and remains connected to their original lineage. And the point of it is to continue to download and bring through your human body that cosmic lineage, so that you become, so you keep expanding the human species. Because now, for example, you are half human and half Pleiadian, right? Tom is half human, half Arcturian or something. So now this is the first time that you are on the earth in this expression with that combination, this hybrid combination. So you are changing the evolution of the species as you have children and more children and so on and so forth.
Well, I think Tom is part reptilian. My guess.
Maybe, but let's say he's Arcturian for today.
We're going to take some calls here for you. You ready? Let's start by going to Gary in Dallas, Texas, one of our favorite cities. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, sir? Nice to talk to you again.
You too, Gary.
I was going to say to your guest.
She's also, ready.
I want to talk about, I was in the military, and I was assigned up in Alaska, up in the Fairbanks. And the night my father died, I got a kind of a voice talk to me, and he was in Texas. And I felt as though he was kind of calming me, as in everything would be fine. And about an hour later, I get a call from my brother saying my father had passed.
Wow.
And I felt calm, but yet my stomach kind of hurt, yada, yada, yada. But I just wondered if you know something. And I've felt other things like this happen before, but that was the first time that ever happened to me.
And do you think, Gary, he may have passed that moment he was communicating with you?
Yes, sir. I sure do, because as soon as my brother called me, he didn't tell me he had passed. I'd already known it.
You felt it.
Possible.
Yeah, you felt it.
And that's when he just said, you know, okay, I'll see you, you know, within a day or so. So I automatically, he didn't even tell me. I knew.
Yeah, Carolyn, how do these spirits, what compels them to let their loved ones know? I mean, his father wanted him to know that everything was okay. Why did they do this?
Yeah, of course, because they know it's harder on the people who are left behind. And so remember, yes, Gary, what I was saying earlier, that when I was connecting with these beings, we were the same lineage. It's like the same family. And so it's as if I was on this side of the veil and they're on the other side of the veil. And so they're in constant communication, trying to help you and assist you with everything that you're going through on Earth, because it's harder on this side. And so when your father passed, you know, he was on the other side of the veil, so that communication line is always open, and he was able to let you know that this is, you know, this is about to happen, or this was happening at the time. So it's such a beautiful story, and what I love also is that you were able to tap into the information without your brother, like before your brother told you, right? So it's almost like you were already tapped into telepathically with that information. So it's just validation, you see, these kind of stories. I love it.
Caroline, are you still in touch with these beings when you were a little child?
Absolutely. They've been with me my entire life, yeah. And now to the point where I don't even have to, like, go into a deep meditation or anything. I mean, I just kind of click. I know where to find them in my brain, in my consciousness.
What do they think of the planet these days?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
They're like,
that tells me everything.
Yeah, right. But it's like, you know, actually, the word that comes up is they're on standby. I feel like they're just watching to the point of, you know, like no return, so to speak, and they'll step in. That's how I feel. But not like, you know, UFOs, a bunch of aliens landing, and not
Right.
that kind of stepping in. More, you know, from a spirit point of view, trigger some movement, like maybe natural disasters that would stop certain things, break down satellites that are bombarding us with 5G, and you know, break that, you know what I mean? Those types of divine intervention.
But they do have the right to step in and intervene.
They do, because even though humans have free will, but what happens is that humans, when they are creating something that goes to, you know, that is conflicting with the universal order. And what I mean by that, it's not like a government order or anything like that. It's more, you have to think of it as a body, as an organism. So if the universe is an organism, and you know, the planet Earth is just, it's just the hand, and the hand gets broken or is messed up or is self-destructing, then it's like the immune system of the universe kicks in, and it has to kind of try to, you know, make the body survive and self-heal and self-repair. So it's almost like the universe as a whole has this immune system that kicks in, steps in when it's absolutely necessary.
Where would you put intuition, Caroline, into this mix?
For an individual, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Well, intuition is really just the connection between you and your higher consciousness. Your higher consciousness is constantly telling you, warning you, guiding you all the time. And so, but because, you know, we're not taught this in school and we don't have that sort of training, so we just feel it as a gut feeling, as an intuition. So we think it's just like a just a feeling, but actually it is your higher consciousness that is communicating with your physical aspect, telling you, hey, watch out, hey, this is what's coming up for you.
Let's go to
Yeah.
Cheryl in Gold Bar, Washington, state of west of the Rockies. Cheryl, go ahead.
Bonsoir, Madame Monsieur.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hello, angels. Hey, I am talking animals and do energy healings, but I haven't progressed to humans as much. But I have a lot of strange abilities. Maybe it's because I spent a lot of time alone. I don't know what it was. But I really believe that animals come to you and heal you. Have you got a lot of energy animal stories, or do you use them at all?
All right, that's an interesting question, Caroline. Anything with the animals?
Yeah, you know, I just had my dog pass recently. I've had her, she was 14, 15. And I was, people were like, in the beginning, my friends would laugh at me because I could hear everything she was saying. We would talk to each other like I'm talking to you. And so it was incredible how much I learned from her. Because the innocence and just the simplicity of the animal consciousness is extraordinary, and it's just so needed. And that's why animals, we feel good when we pet an animal, because I noticed that when the dog wants something, it tells you, but then it's completely still, and then it tells you something else, and then it's completely still. And it sounds like something very simple, but it is so significant because the human mind is constantly talking. There's constant chatter. So it means there's constant noise, there's constant chaos. Whereas the animal consciousness and mind is just this peace, this kind of like this stillness at the base of their being. And that is why they're comforting, because through resonance, we calm down. We go down to this space of stillness. So I just learned so much from her, just tuning into her, speaking to her. And it was very interesting also when she passed, because I can see the energy. I could see the beings that came to get her and where she was going. And I was able to, and I saw that the way animals transition is not the same as humans. You have to kind of tell them, like they don't, It's like they don't know, like, where they're going. They know they're going, but they don't know where and what happens next. So I was able to help her. It was a very, very amazing experience. They're so precious on planet Earth. I love animals.
Tell me a little bit about the experiments you were doing with water. Was it just to change the alkaline and acidity, or was it something else?
Yeah, we tried different things. We tried changing the electrical conductivity in water. That was super easy. We also did that with DNA. That responds very quickly to intention. But in the film, we did mostly the pH because, like I said, people know that raising the pH in the body is important, or drinking water that's alkaline heals you, is good for you. So that's what we did, and we had done this before, and in the film, we just did it, you know, obviously live to show people how this is possible, and it was pretty amazing. I think I shifted it one entire decimal, which is a lot, in about 10 minutes, something like that. Yeah.
All right, next up, let's go to Catherine in Houston, Texas. Hi, Catherine, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Caroline.
Go ahead, huh?
Hi. I have a part thing I want to tell you about, like the man that just called about somebody dying. My mother was in the hospital. I went to visit her. She had cancer.
I'm losing you on the phone, Catherine.
I went to visit my mother in the hospital.
Okay.
She told me it was time for my birthday, and she said she didn't have a gift for me. I said, Mom, don't worry about it. Let's just worry about you getting better. But sadly, she didn't get better. She died shortly after that. And then I started telling you this story, but you cut me off with I was talking to somebody else on your show. But it's a two-part thing, so I need to finish it with you. She died, and the night she died, she spoke to me and told me she was okay, and that's all she said. But then 2 years later, I had a dream, and the dream, I saw my mother coming to my house with three packages, three gifts, and kind of tried to look and see what they were, trying to find the gifts, you know, in the stores and things. And the one thing I could not find was there was one of those little models of, like, little children or things like that, you know, those little clay-type things.
Little figurines, yeah.
Yes, and then I looked and looked and looked, and I finally figurine, and the name on it was Catherine. But it was not spelled, it was spelled with a C instead of a K, like I spell it, but I think she was sending me another message.
They work in strange ways to send messages, Caroline, don't they?
Absolutely. And usually in dreams, it's a perfect time because your mind is not occupied. You're just resting. You're quiet. And then you're allowing that information to come through.
I think dreams are powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Absolutely.
In your dream state.
Absolutely.
I mean, we can get so many things accomplished in dreams than you probably can when you're awake, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's very hard to focus and to quiet when you're awake. So that's the reason why they come in during your sleep, for sure.
Where can people see the Superhuman film?
Actually, it's on many platforms, iTunes, Vimeo, Amazon. The best thing to do is just go to the website, superhumanfilm.com, and then all the platforms are listed there. And it's actually now, it just started, rentals are just started. So it's great. You know, you can rent it.
Good for you.
You know, $4.99 or
and you and your books and ebooks are still available?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And also, if people are interested in learning this stuff, you know, the mind flow, you know, the blindfold telekinesis, there's the classes. Just click on workshops, and you'll see those classes. But I think people should watch the film first because, you know, it's just so empowering.
Yeah, they'll get a better idea. Caroline, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment with Caroline Corey. Caroline, in your film, Superhuman, what would you say is the most outstanding thing in there that surprised even you?
The blindfold.
Aha, tell us more.
crazy, George. I mean, I guarantee when you first watch this part, you would be like, there's no way. This is a trick. What's going on? This is magic.
They can see through the blindfold something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's something, or there's light coming on the side. And so especially that some of the kids and some of the folks, like, turn their heads a little bit to the side. And it's not because they're cheating. It's because as you do the training, you realize that the peripheral vision comes on first. So it's almost like you start to see better on the side than in the center. And so, but people, when you watch those kids for the first time, you're like, why are they doing this? Are they cheating? So that's the first impression. But then in the film, you know, you're going to see people who read, ride a bike, you know, like do all kinds of, play ping pong, do all kinds of stuff completely blindfolded. And because I wanted to make the film, you know, scientific and bring some serious validation, what happened is the Russian group had a group of Italian scientists look into this. And what they've done is they introduced a device inside the mask to see if there was light in there. And the device could not detect any photons, any light photons whatsoever. The device was zero light.
These people were seen with their conscious mind, right?
Exactly. And so it was pretty extraordinary. And we even did a on-camera live, you know, like a real-life experiment with a person who had macular degeneration. And just doing this exercise, going through the training, her vision improved a lot. Just, you know, going through a training just during the film, if you will. And so that's why this was the most extraordinary to witness.
Let's go to John in the state of Maine. Welcome to the program. Hi, John.
Hi.
Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Carolyn. I had a couple questions for you. You know, first of all, I had flying dreams my whole life, and you know, and all this stuff. I had so many different things happen. I actually had God speak to me in college, you know, Ohio University, and he said a wonderful thing would happen, and I end up moving to Connecticut and learning all the spiritual stuff. Doing green juices, raising your vibrational frequency,
mm-hmm.
eating plants, and meditating, you know, and then all of a sudden I had all this ability. I started hearing these angels, like not in my head, but like in a great hall, you know what I mean? That's how I describe it, like way up there somewhere, different levels. You hear different groups, but millions of people. And it was so cool. It was all because I just did those green juices during the day instead of eating heavy foods. And, you know, and I was doing meditation and deep breathing. And even as a kid at 3 years old, I had an experience once where we're standing in Cleveland, and I'm telling my sister, my parents were down having tea. It was about 8 o'clock, and we looked out the window, and I said, Kathy, look, she's a year older than me. I was 3 and a half, and she was 4 and a half, and we could fly into the night. And she said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I thought, like a half minute later, why did I even say that? I'm only 3 and a half years old. I was like, where'd that come from? But then, you know, at 5, I saw the original Peter Pan, the movie, the original one, you know, and where she grabs the two children and they open up the double doors and they fly out into the night. And that night I flew out. I remember waking up as I curled out the window because we have one of those push out windows, and I flew down the street and I came, I had a flying dream, you know. And all my life I've had flying dreams. And then one time I flew in with, like an energy body, not just an astral body or like what you call a dream body, but this is where I actually hit something. The next day I went down, the wire was broke.
Oh my god, you're lucky you didn't get killed, John. But his green juices and stuff, eating properly, Caroline, does that give you a little better metaphysical properties?
Yes, absolutely. You know, because everything is energy, and so your body's energy, your food is energy, obviously. So if you ingest foods that have very low vibration, then you are bringing down your energy and your vibration. For example, alcohol, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but alcohol is a very low vibration.
Right.
And wine, yeah.
It diminishes your abilities, doesn't it?
Exactly. So it brings it down. So absolutely, the food is very, very important. So I'm so glad you did that.
Let's go to Joe in San Jose, California. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you very much. Hi, Carolina.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, I'm a Coast to Coast insider.
Oh, super.
Anyway, yeah, I heard you said about energy healing. I'm really interested in that because I first was hit by prostate cancer. I got cured with radiation. Now I just found out I got thyroid cancer. They want to take my thyroid out.
So I got to get you in touch with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, too. He was just talking about that. But go ahead, Caroline.
I heard that one.
Yeah. You can send him an email through the criticalhealthnews.com website, Joe.
Joe, the thing is, unfortunately, is you have to address the root cause of why your body created cancer in the first place. Because as long as you didn't address that root cause, it's going to continue to come back. Your body is responding to a pattern or a belief system or information that was, you know, put in there from a trauma. I see your mother there since your childhood. So that builds up. And so unless you heal that, you know, you're going to keep manifesting it. So I recommend that as you are following whatever protocol for your physical body on a chemical level, I think you should also address that, energetic root cause of why this is created in the first place. So if you are interested in this, maybe you can go on the website, but I think you should just do a session with somebody from my team. Right now, I have like such a long, waiting list because I've been working on the film, but I'm happy to recommend somebody from my team to work with you to at least shift you and put you in the right trajectory so that you can keep getting better.
Caroline, what do you think of doing, mainstream medicine along with energy healing together?
Yeah, I don't know about mainstreamness. It depends case by case. You know, mainstream medicine also has its place. I mean, if you break
something. Oh, no question about it.
I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, come on. You know, but sometimes it depends on the case. Sometimes if it's in the beginning of the case, you can very easily reverse it with natural products. And so, but if you're very, very close, like if you've had it for a very long time and it's getting very dangerous, you know, maybe you do need some drastic medicine or something like that. I don't have a problem with it. But I think that's the reason. But regardless, I think, you know, George, like there's something energetic. Your subconscious mind created that information in the first place. So you have to address it. Otherwise, it's always going to be there. Once you have a thought, it's always there. Once energy is created, it cannot be destroyed. So you have to address that subconscious pattern.
Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Annie, go for it.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Thank you, Annie.
And Hillary Evans on the show that wrote the book about sliders.
Yep.
Okay, well, my mother told me when I was real little that I could blow a 50-amp fuse just by walking into a building, and she said, you got it from me. And I'm a zombie finger. Every single time I ever had a smartphone, this is involuntary now. I'm destroying something just by touching it involuntarily. The smartphones tear up, and I can't use a
Jeez. Do street lights go out when you walk by, Annie?
Yes, that was so elementary. That was when I was real little, even. And the touch screens, I can't use them because I've got this zombie finger, and my finger doesn't even work on a touch screen. And anyway, they need to do away with those because people shouldn't be touching that thing after somebody else anyway. They had that down there where you vote, and I thought that was just ungodly.
What do you think of people's ability like Annie, Caroline, that they have these incredible abilities to shut off electrical things?
Yeah, I mean, this used to happen to me, actually. I would walk in people's homes and, like, things would explode, light bulbs. And one time the coffee machine exploded. The
Jeez. Does that still
fire.
Happen
yeah.
to you?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm telling you this, because it used to happen, and it would embarrass me because I didn't know how to control it, or like, because also sometimes I was damaging people's property. So I started to kind of want to, you know, control it. And so with time, I learned to, you know, embrace it, that, hey, this is energy coming through me, and I can use it in a positive way, as opposed to just let it come out of me and just destroy devices. And so you can do the same thing. You can just do a meditation and close your energy field and intend for that energy that's coming through you to not expand beyond your energy field, so that it stays within your energy field and it amplifies your power. And then you can direct it specifically as needed to what you needed. So for healing, or, you know, to change the water or what have you. So just try that, because otherwise it's not helpful, you know?
What was science, what does science say about the film Superhuman?
Actually, I'm having very good comments from scientists. So I'm very, very happy about that. And also, you know, you mentioned Tom Campbell. Tom just saw the film. He'll tell you about it. His team just sent me an email. They loved it. Dean Radin saw it. He said it's a fine
great. Dean's on with me next week, by the way.
Yeah, ask him about this. And so he saw the film as well. He reviewed it. So, you know, scientists understand what I'm doing here, you know. So they understand, and especially in the film, we took the time to explain how we set up the experiment, how we create a baseline, that this is a Faraday cage, and so on and so forth. So, you know, they know it's real. We're not, you know, trying to fool anybody here.
Super. What's your next project?
Well, actually, I have the next kind of Superhuman 2 lined up.
Really? Ready to go?
Yeah, well, I mean, but I have to get over this one first. We just opened this one, and the rentals just started this week, so it's still very early in the process. So I need to focus on this one first before I can continue with the next one. But
all right, well, good luck
yeah.
with that. And yes,
yeah.
thanks for being on the program again, Caroline. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun, and you are an awesome host.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to say thank you in French, but... I don't know what the words are, but thanks. Folks, we're all going through a lot, and every once in a while I like to wrap up the program with something a little upbeat for you, because I do believe in the long run, in spite of the chaos we seem to be going through, we're going to win.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant. But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're
feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt ram. There goes another problem, Kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, Kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, Kerplop.
Kerplop!
Yep, we're going to make it, to be sure. By the way, happy 40th anniversary to WGMD Radio in Delaware. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.